بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had migrated to Medina Munawwara, and a few years had passed, especially towards the latter few years of his life, we find that Islam began to spread at a very fast rate. Different tribes would come from different parts of the Arabian Peninsula. They would hear about the deen of Islam, about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would come to Medina Munawwara and they would recite shahadat, accept Islam at his hands. And like this, many people also chose to remain behind in Medina Munawwara and spend time in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Muslim population of Medina Munawwara began to grow, and after some time it became necessary for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to implement a code of conduct, to teach Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum certain social etiquettes. They were different people from different backgrounds, different upbringing, different ways, different likes. So for them to live together with muhabbat, with unity, with understanding, these social etiquettes had to be implemented and taught. In Surah Hujurat, a few nights back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about a few of these etiquettes, which we heard, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. That if some information comes to you and the source is not a very reliable source, then make sure you verify the information. Then Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ. You should not mock one another. لَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Don't give derogatory nicknames to one another. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Avoid evil thoughts of one another. لا تجسسوا. Don't search for faults in one another. So various different social etiquettes that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And here in Surah Al-Mujadala, which we heard in last night's Taraweeh, two more of these social etiquettes are mentioned, which are pertinent to our times as well. So the first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about private conversations. When two people or when a group is present and two people wish to engage in a private conversation, then what are the masail, what are the rules regarding this? Fuqaha have written in great detail that if there is a group of three people that they are traveling together or they are sitting together, then two people should not go aside and whisper to one another. They should not have a private conversation and leave the third person out. There is no leeway for this. This is not allowed, because it will cause hurt to that person. He will feel as though he is being ostracized, he is being shunned, or perhaps they are planning something against him, they are speaking about him. So this is not permitted. However, if that group consists of more than three, there are four or more people in that gathering, then two people are allowed to go aside and speak privately. However, here also Fuqaha mentioned on condition that the remaining two people or the remaining people in that group won't feel hurt. So these are the masail that Fuqaha have mentioned. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that once these conditions are found, that now a person is having a private conversation with someone, then what should that conversation consist of? So Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا تَنَاجَيْتُمْ فَلَا تَتَنَاجُوا بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَمَعْصِيَةِ الرَّسُولِ. That if you have to have this conversation, which is private, which people, others are not privy to, then ensure that this conversation is not, or the content, the subject matter is not that of sin. It is not of a sinful nature, or of where a person is transgressing the commands of Allah, وَمَعْصِيَةِ الرَّسُولِ. He is planning to disobey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَتَنَاجُوا بِالْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Rather, this conversation should consist of birr, righteousness, obedience of Allah, consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is this mentioned? Because generally we find that when a person is speaking in public, or he is in such a gathering where others can hear his conversation, then he'll take special care that his words are correct. So he won't speak anything against somebody, he won't lie, he won't speak in a vulgar way, he won't speak in a harsh tone. He knows people are listening to me. But when two people are conversing, and they are close friends, or they are relatives, there's nobody else who is there, then many a times we let our guard down. So then, I need to watch what I say, how I say it, who I speak about. So that is why here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that inform Sahaba radiallahu anhum when they want to converse with one another, they should follow these guidelines. Why is this so important? We find in today's time, respected brothers and elders, each and every one of us is involved in these private conversations. We are on our cell phones, even though we may be sitting in a gathering of 1,000 people. But when a person is on his cell phone and he is messaging somebody, that is a private conversation. It's only those two people. Nobody else knows what is going on in that conversation. So these same guidelines have to be implemented. That we do not just speak anything that is of a sinful nature, sometimes jokingly, without intending, but we may make certain comments, we may pass a remark about somebody or about something that has happened. So we should ensure that this entire conversation is founded on birr, on righteousness, on taqwa, the consciousness of Allah. And then Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. That be conscious of Allah, fear Allah, because you are going to be raised before Him one day. You are going to have to stand before Him. And He will then ask you, you will have to be held accountable for whatever you had said. So this is the first etiquette that is mentioned. And thereafter, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَفْسَحُوا. O those who have iman, if you are sitting in any gathering, and it is said to you that make space for those who have come, then فَفْسَحُوا. Make space for them. يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Allah will make space for you. So the incident behind this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated on one occasion. Sahaba radiallahu anhum were around him. The gathering was quite full. And there were many new Muslims, new Sahaba who were sitting close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had come early. They had taken up their positions in that gathering. And after some time, some veterans who had taken part in the battle of Badr came by. They had got delayed, so they came late. And when they reached that gathering, they realized that there was no space for them to sit. So they stood waiting that perhaps somebody will make place for us, but nobody seemed ready to move. Then they greeted Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam loudly, again trying to hint to those who are there that make some space for us. But again, nobody was prepared to move. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam realizes this, that these are the veterans of Badr, and these are those Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in the early days of Islam, they had given great sacrifice and qurbani for deen. So in order to honor and respect them, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded those around him that wake up from your places and allow them to take your place. So this took place. Those Sahaba had came, they sat down, the gathering continued. When the gathering had ended, a few munafiqeen came. And they began speaking to these new Sahaba and saying that, see, you just accepted Islam recently. And we all heard that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is fair, he is just, he doesn't show favoritism to anyone. But today his conduct was very surprising, that you were there early, you made all the effort, the sacrifice to come, you took up your position, your space, and then he just asked you to leave, and he allowed those others who came late, they didn't take any care to come early, but he allowed them to take your place, your position. So perhaps this is not the right person to follow. So then these verses were revealed. That إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَسَّحُوا. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says to you, make space for somebody, then without asking any questions, without objecting, this is the command of Allah, the command of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, فَفْسَحُوا. Make space, and in order to console them, Allah says, يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Allah will make space for you in His rahmat, in His jannat. Allah will make space for you. So of course, this was the order of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. This is not going to be practiced in today's time. We're not going to ask somebody to wake up from the gathering. But there are two points here. One is, there is a gathering, perhaps it's Jum'ah time, or there's some program taking place in the masjid, whatever it may be. One is the person who is coming late. What should his reaction be? So perhaps a person is used to sitting in the front. Normally he's always there. He's on time, he sits next to the speaker, or in front of the speaker. But for some reason he has come late on this occasion. So for him, he should sit where the gathering ends. He shouldn't jump over people's shoulders and try to come to the front. We find in the Shama'il, regarding Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it's mentioned when he would come to any gathering, then يَجْلِسُ حَيْثُ يَنْتَهِ إِلَيْهِ الْمَجْلِسِ. He would sit where the gathering ended. If there were 5 safs that were occupied, he would sit in the 5th saf. If there were 10 safs, he would sit in the back. He wouldn't expect that place be made for him. Although he was the Nabi of Allah, and of course everybody in that gathering would have been ready to give him their space. But he didn't expect it. That because I am the Nabi of Allah, I am always in the front, and now I came late, so I have a right to that spot. No. He sat wherever the gathering ended. He wouldn't make himself become the focal point of that gathering. So that is for the person who is coming late, that is how he should react. But for those of us who may be in the front, and now somebody comes, so he hasn't fulfilled what he's supposed to do. He jumped over the sufuf, and now he comes, and there's no space, but he tries to squash inside between two people. How upset we get. However, then we should think of this verse. فَفْسَحُوا يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. We find many a times Haramain Sharifain is the day of Jumu'ah. Jumu'ah Salah is going to take place. And we know how early a person has to go to make it into the Haram Sharif. So he wakes up perhaps at 10 o'clock in the morning. Still 2.5 hours for Azan. He takes his ghusl, he puts on his kurta, he goes early. He's tired. And he gets a nice spot on the carpet. He's got a pillar behind him also. He's made all the sacrifice. And then last minute somebody comes. And there's hardly any place, and he comes and sits right in front of you, on your musalla. How upset we become. If we want to tell him something, so then we think of this. He has done wrong. Of course, he has done wrong. He shouldn't have done that. But from our side, فَفْسَحُوا يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Make place for him. He's also the guest of Allah. He's a guest of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah will make space for you. So these are two social etiquettes which were taught to Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And like this, when these verses were revealed, Sahaba were prepared to accept it. Although, outwardly, we may have some reservations, that there's some favoritism taking place. How is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing this? They were prepared. No questions asked, no objections, no ishkal. This is the hukam, the command of Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are prepared to accept it. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and their status in Allah's eyes, the muhajirin and the ansar. That these were the best of Allah's creation after the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. So in these verses, Allah is speaking about mali ghanimat, the spoils of war. And here fuqaha have mentioned in these verses also, that there are two different categories when it comes to the spoils of war. So one is when the Muslim army will advance against the enemy, and the battle takes place, and the Muslim army is victorious. Whatever is acquired from that particular campaign is called malul ghanima. Ghanimat, the spoils of war, booty. Here the ruling is mentioned in the 10th juz. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا غَنِمْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Allah says, whatever has been acquired in this manner, then it has to be divided into 5 portions. The Amirul Mu'mineen, the leader of that army, will divide it into 5 portions. 4 of those 5 will go to those who were part of that campaign. The Mujahideen, the Sahaba who were part of that campaign, they will be deserving of 4/5 of that entire amount. This will be given to them. And the remaining 1/5 will be given to the Baytul Mal, the national treasury, and it will then be used by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for the benefit of the Muslimin and the citizens of the country. So this is the first type, Malul Ghanima. Then the second type is what is mentioned in this verse, that ma afa Allahu ala rasulihi min ahli al-qura. That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the Muslim army without any combat taking place. So the Muslim army advances against the enemy, but they surrender without any combat, any clash taking place. So here this wealth that will be acquired is termed as faith. Also the spoils of war. But here the ruling is different. Because there was no physical combat, so this will not be divided into 5 portions. Rather, the entire amount will go to the Baytul Mal, and it will then be spent on the deserving recipients. So here Allah says, Lidil Qurba, the relatives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Yatama, the orphans, the masakin, the poor people. And then Allah speaks about the muhajirin. So one of the recipients of this wealth is lil fuqara al muhajirin. Those emigrants who left Makkah Mukarramah came to Medina Munawwara and they were poor. They were below the nisab or the zakat threshold. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places his stamp of approval. That these muhajirin left Makkah Mukarramah. What was the intention? Alladhina ukhriju min diyarihim wa amwalihim. That they were kicked out. They were forced to abandon their homes, their wealth, their businesses. Allah says, يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. They did not come for any worldly motive, for any ulterior motive, but they came solely to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولًا. And to assist and help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his deen, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Regarding these muhajirin, Allah says, they are the ones who are truthful in their iman. They are true in their iman in what they say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they recite kalima, they truly mean it. And when they say we are prepared to support the deen of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then they truly mean it. So this is with regard to the muhajirin. Then Allah mentions the ansar, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. That those who had settled down in Medina Munawwara before, they were the inhabitants of Medina Munawwara. And now they are told that the muhajirin are coming from Makkah Mukarramah. We can imagine, we are residents of Ashavan. And somebody has to say to us, there is a town or a city, and all those Muslims are going to be kicked out from there. They are going to have to leave their businesses, their homes. They just have the clothes on their back, and they will be in the masjid tomorrow after Fajr Salah. Each one of you must take one person home. So each one of us has to be ready. And not just take him home for one meal, but your house, divide it into half and give it to him. The house that you worked hard for, you paid for it, you finally got the title deeds in your hand, you've done it up how you wanted to, now you must divide it in half and give him half. Then the business that you worked so hard to build, that also make him a 50% shareholder in there. Those who had two wives, divorce one, give him one. Whatever other assets you have, give half of it to him. To this extent, that when you pass away, also he'll inherit from your estate. We can imagine what our condition will be. How much of that entire night we'll stay awake making dua. That Allah, you send rozi for them. Don't let them come here. I'm not prepared to part with anything. But here Allah says, what was the reaction of the Ansar? يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ They're not just accepting it, but they have love for the muhajirin. That we are waiting for you to come, we'll give you. We are waiting for you, we have that love for you. Why? Because you are the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And then not only this, in the early campaigns in Madinah Munawwara, whatever was acquired, all the spoils of war, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would give to the muhajirin. That, oh Ansar, you have your homes in Madinah, you don't need it right now. Give it all to the muhajirin. You can imagine. After giving up their half of their homes, their businesses and everything else, and now they are told we are not getting a share in the spoils of war. But then what is their reaction? لا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة. They have no need for it. They don't feel any jealousy over these muhajirin that they have been given, we haven't been given. ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة. Now Allah gives them this title that they give preference to others even though at times they are going through poverty. Even though they may be needy, but they give preference to others. So this was the condition of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They had clean hearts. They were prepared to wish well for the next person. One incident that will terminate. Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhu. He mentions on one occasion we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said to us that shortly, a man who is from the people of Jannat will enter. So after a while we looked up and we see a person coming in. His beard was dripping with the water of wudu. He came into the masjid, he performed two rakat of salah and he sat in the gathering. Then the gathering ended. The next day again we were sitting with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Same comment he made. That shortly a man from the people of Jannat will enter. And we see the same person entering. Third day the same thing happens. So Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhu says, I was curious that why is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam giving this person guarantee? So I thought of a plan to try and find out what he's doing in his life that has earned him this title. So he says, I followed him home, where I saw which home he went into. So I went in the evening and I knocked on his door. And I said to him, I am a companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. I had some dispute with my father and he has kicked me out of the house. So do you have a place for me to stay? So he says, no problem, you can be my guest, stay in my house with me. So Abdullah bin Amr bin As goes into his home, and he gives him the guest bedroom, and he prepares to spend the night there. So he says, I pretended to be asleep, and I began to observe the movements of this person. So I saw that he didn't do much more than the rest of us were doing. He woke up, he performed tahajjud salah, he made some dua, but it wasn't anything extraordinary. I couldn't understand, why did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam give him this title? That he is from the people of Jannat. So he says, the first night passed, second night, third night, I realized this person is not doing anything special. So eventually I went up to him and I said, I have a confession to make. I made up this entire story. There was no dispute between me and my father. But I wanted to spend time with you to see what amal, what action you involved in. Because this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said about you. So this person says to him that I'm an ordinary person. I do my fara'id, my wajibat. There's nothing special in my life. But I thank you for telling me this glad tiding that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned. I can't think of any reason. So Abdullah bin Amr bin As prepares to leave. And as he's about to leave, that person calls him back. He says, there is one thing that may be the cause for this. He says, I ensure that at all times I keep my heart clean from enmity for any Muslim brother. And I make dua that all my Muslim brothers be successful. Whatever Allah gives them, they must be happy, Allah must give them more. So I wish well for them, and I have no ill feelings for them. So this is a great teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We can see here how the Ansar are being praised. So now as we're coming to the end of the month of Ramadan also, we have heard from the beginning of the month of Ramadan that this month is a training ground, not just for our ibadat. One is the practice we'll get our salah, our fasting, our Quran tilawat, but also when it comes to these aspects of our deen, when it comes to our internal characteristics, when it comes to our feelings, emotions that we have for others, that we clean our hearts out. As far as possible, we try not to have envy, jealousy, enmity for anybody. Simple solution, ulama explained, if I have envy, jealousy for somebody, take some time out, take him by name and make dua for him. In a short space of time, Allah will remove that envy and the jealousy, and Allah will create a bond of muhabbat and friendship between the two people. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Make a short dua, inshallah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, wal aqibatu lil muttaqin, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina wa maulana muhammad, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يبلغنا إلى حبك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا ومن أهلنا ومن الماء البارد ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين آمين.